Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 22nd of July, recording at 9:54 p.m. That's later than usual, so apologies for that. For those who tune in regularly for an earlier broadcast. Now, first the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were generally firm. Quiet day in the European markets, a little bit mixed. Wall Street early on had been down, due to some disappointing corporate profit releases last year. But the U.S. market improved during the course of the day and closed near the highs, with the Dow up 135, the S&P up 17, and the NASDAQ Composite up 24. So that's a good follow-through, particularly when you consider where the market was early this morning, UK time, or late last night, US time, in terms of the futures. And in long-dated government bonds, U.S. Treasuries down due to the softer tone in the European stock markets. We had modest gains in the gilts and bunds. And we can see, yes, the U.S. dollar, this is an interesting story here today. The dollar had a rebound today. It's currently trading at 157.84 against the euro. That's after the euro had pushed up to a high of 159.44. And so the dollar has checked its slide for at least the short term. The US dollar index is currently at 72.47. That's up 480 ticks. And precious metals were clipped in here today by the strength of the dollar and also the weakness of oil. And oil prices fell down. Remember, oil was slightly steadier yesterday because of Hurricane Dolly. Sounds like a cloned sheep, doesn't it? Which was moving towards the Gulf of Mexico, causing some concern. Then there was a report out this afternoon saying that it was going to miss the Gulf of Mexico, and crude oil dropped down, got down as low as 126.37. It was down over $5 at one stage, and then recovered a little bit when another report came out saying that, well, maybe it wasn't going to quite miss the Gulf of Mexico. Whatever way you, so gold, well, let me just, I'll come back to it. Oil is currently down 335 at 128.47. And that all pretty well all the commodities were weaker in here today. Not many exceptions, and the exceptions were modest. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the evidence continues to mount that we had a very pivotal week last week, not least in terms of the U.S. leash effect. Wall Street had been pounded, as so many other stock markets had been. Really, from that early May period, we had early to mid-May, we had about 10 consecutive weeks of just steady downward moves, and then with some acceleration in the latter stages. So clearly climactic activity, one of the most persistent declines going, led by financials, and against a background of this, so what I frequently describe as this perfect storm of events. I won't repeat all those points, particularly at this late hour. But the catalyst that we were looking for appeared in the form of the really important one in terms of crude oil's big downward dynamic. And crude oil has been weak ever since. So this is clearly a type 2 top, as taught at the chart seminar. And we also have seen just riveting upward dynamics in the financial indices. Check the U.S. banking indices here following tonight's gains. Actually, I posted, or I will shortly post when I complete, post the S&P 500 banks index. And what we've seen is the best gain since they peaked out last year. I think they peaked out in the first or second quarter. I won't bring up the chart right now, but it was a long time ago. So the rally that we have seen in that S&P Banks Index is already bigger than the rally that we saw in March of this year, and it was also bigger than the January rally, which was bigger than the March rally. And it's bigger than any other rally, as I say, since the move downwards occurred, and obviously occurring from a much lower level. Now, that's in numerical terms, so of course in percentage terms, it's vastly bigger. And that provides about as emphatic technical evidence as you can get off a low. And this is only over 5 days that this was an extremely important low for the banking sector. Now, we know why this rally is so explosive, and this was certainly discussed beforehand, that the short positions were absolutely massive. And therefore, most of this strength is in the form of short covering, but inevitably that also attracts some bargain hunting. But we've already seen a huge bounce. This type of pattern is very predictable in terms of how it will actually play out. What we will see is this explosive advance, if it conforms to the norm, as is so often the case, that this explosive advance will soon go into a more orderly phase of a ranging rally, a slower sort of ranging rally, could still be reasonably persistent. And then we will see that eventually be checked by a downward dynamic, and then you'll get the index pulling back into a right-hand extension phase, which I would wager will certainly remain above the lows that we saw last week. So we'll look for a pullback and say right-hand extension base formation stage at some point as this current rally eventually runs out of steam. The implications overall, of course, are that the Wall Street leash effect, which has been persistently bearish for several months, has now turned bullish, and this will certainly ignite some useful gains in the Asian markets tomorrow, and I think with follow-on in Europe as well. And the Asian markets have been looking more interesting anyway. For instance, the China plays available to the West, mainly through Hong Kong. The Hong Kong never broke down through through that March low, and it's checked the decline. India has been steadier recently. India had already reached its range lows pretty much as Wall Street was still herring down at the beginning of last week. China has been a bit steadier for a while. So, and if we think about those markets, those emerging markets, everybody on the mention of emerging markets in recent months has said, oh, inflation, this is so much worse for them. They'll have big inflation problems. Well, the biggest inflation problem is crude oil, and that's peaked. And a lot of these other commodities, a lot of these agricultural commodities are coming down as well. Now, there's some definite shortages there and major concerns over carry forward stocks for corn and soybeans. But there'll certainly be more rice over the next 12 months. And we can anticipate a redoubled effort to increase food production. So a lot of that inflation is going to melt into the background for a while and probably not pick up again until the global economy really is clipping along, synchronized in another period of expansion, whereas currently the global economy is slowing, and a number of Western markets are either in recession or hovering on the brink of recession, and not least the United States. Okay, interesting stuff. My hunch is that you get an improvement generally, and we will see the emerging markets going back to what they have done so often in the past, is leading the upside as well as the downside. They are high beta. All right, now, was that the low? Well, it probably was for the banks. And if that was the low for the banks, then that improves the chances that it was the low for some of the other indices that had reached new reaction lows this year. That sounds awfully complicated. There are indices such as the US transports, which never gave up very much ground, and in the last 5 days have regained two-thirds of the decline that they saw from their all-time peak. So, it's there are different pictures out there among the chart indices, but nevertheless, the majority of them, or a fair proportion of them, and probably the majority, had actually taken out those January and March lows, but not by all that much. And for instance, you've got the S&P on the brink of pushing back up into that range, and the German DAX, a number of the other European indices show similar pictures. I think the important thing to do at this stage is just to say, look, this is a tradable rally. We're going to get at least, as I said last week, we're going to get at least at least a short-term rally, which I defined as sort of lasting a month or two, and it could easily be more. Now, there are all sorts of variables out there, quite obviously. We'll get drip feed write-offs in the banking sector. We'll probably have more of the U.S. banks, little regional banks, go under. But we've passed the nadir of that crisis, not least in terms of market performance, and we'll continue to get profit downgrades. So we can expect, after the short covering, we can expect some significant ranging and sort of support building activity in all probability. But people have been hysterically, apocalyptically bearish, and I really do think that's overdone. And the most serious problem, worse than the banking crisis in global terms, because the banking crisis is a Western banking crisis, obviously that has knock-on implications for the Asian markets. But the point is that Chinese banks, Indian banks, were not up to their eyeballs in subprime and are relatively unscathed by all that. So this is an interesting and improving outlook overall. And the big problem as far as the global economy was concerned was crude oil. Now, if crude oil thrashes around, let's say it rebounds and gets top extension phase, I really don't think it's going to be crossing that 150 threshold anytime soon. I maintain that it's in a secular bull market, as are most commodities, but I've been talking about a big, lengthy, medium-term correction for some time, and I think that brings crude back to at least $100. That would be very good for global stock markets, oil sectors, less so, obviously. So again, this is extremely interesting. If oil, so say if it thrashes around in an extended top formation, it'll take longer for stock markets to extend their recoveries. If oil comes down more quickly, then stock markets will benefit additionally from that move. But it's certainly an interesting time in here, and people are probably having to pinch themselves to believe that things could actually change so sharply, so quickly. Well, they do when you get climactic activity, and there's no doubt that that was a selling climax. What about these long-dated government bonds? They'll come down, the prices will come down, the yields push up as we see the stock markets recover. Terms of currencies, the dollar is still range bound. I have said, including yesterday, and I think on Friday, I've talked about that if there's a black swan event out there, it's not really a black swan because we can anticipate this. I would define a black swan as something that completely blindsides us. But if there's a big negative out there as a possibility, and one always needs to think about that, doesn't mean it's going to happen, it's not necessarily a forecast, but it is the US dollar. I do eventually expect the US dollar to go lower, but meanwhile it's in a range, and while it's in a range, that lends a certain stability which helps nerves generally. If we see that US dollar index breaking to new lows, then we will have more. Will introduce more storm clouds for equities, but that's not a problem for now. And the oil weakness is a negative factor for gold and other commodities on a longer term basis. I think that as oil comes down, that eventually that will be less of an influence on gold. And the dollar action will probably be a bigger influence. They're both influences, obviously. But oil had, since people were so traumatized by the oil move, that really was dominating sentiment in all other markets. I described gold as being on the same side of the seesaw as crude oil. But looking further ahead, my view is that. And you've seen charts, and I think Owen posted them yesterday as well, that the gold-oil ratio shows that gold is down near its historic lows against the price of crude oil. So I think gold's too cheap relative to crude, but both probably remain in a secular bull market, but. Crude is currently much more susceptible to a lengthy medium-term correction than oil, which is also in a medium-term correction but has probably already seen its lows down around that 850 level. And I think that's about it. I need to post this for you all. So look for some more excitement tomorrow. And meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.